Dropout Podcasts.
Greetings, travelers. Hello and welcome to Tales from the Closet. This is a queer discussion podcast. I'm joined today by three lovely guests. Today, we think is episode 7. Maybe some of you watched the last episode and you're like, Ali, you're holding 7 candles then also. And I'm here to let you know that I have a lot of things on my plate right now. Okay. So yeah, maybe I got the count wrong. All right. So leave it in the comments.
I mean, you have to do that. Like, if you didn't do that, people would hate it. So
people would hate it. And I needed to let them know I knew. I knew that I was bad. If you're watching this online on YouTube, know that it is available a week earlier on Dropout, where you can also join our Dropout Discord and chat with us. Discord is a service. It's pretty much like a chat room. And there's a whole chat room for Tales from the Closet people, and I love it.
It's lovely, yeah.
It's so
people
lovely.
People go in there and talk about gay stuff.
Yes.
And,
it's beautiful.
You know, and that's great.
There's some things in the works. I want to start some sort of a pen pal worldwide situation. So hop into Dropout and hop into Discord and hop into a new Chevy Impala today. Thank you so much again for joining us. Let's just hop into the guests.
Oh, boo.
What if I say hop 20 more times?
You have to now.
I do. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do?
Which one of us are you talking to? Yeah, to start. Hi, I'm Grant O'Brien. I'm a cis bisexual male. This is my like third time on the show, so people know basically what they're getting here. Do I need to say more? I'll vamp while you put your candles away.
I'm busy.
Do I tell stories now or do we like to circle back with those?
I just want to get a feeling for who you are, Grant.
Sure.
Well, what did you listen to on the way in today?
On the way in today, I listened to a different podcast on a different podcast network. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I can
was
promote
it a competitor?
Other podcasts. I don't think so.
Was it fucking NPR news desk?
It was Keep It, a podcast about entertainment, which is great.
Oh, it's not a Marie Kondo podcast.
No, fuck
the opposite. The opposite of Marie Kondo.
I get myself into trouble on this show because I'm very loose with my negative opinions about popular authors and their books about bullshit tidying up. I could be talking about anyone. That's not necessarily.
It's true. You didn't use first last name.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank
Grant.
You for having
I
me.
I always love having you.
This podcast is a treat.
My love. All right, moving on to a new love. Hi.
Hello. My name is Kira, non-binary. My pronouns are they, them. I forgot what questions you asked.
What do you do? What do you like to do?
What do you like to do and what do you do are two different questions.
I'm currently enjoying this right now. Yeah. I play music, but
great.
An artist, I guess you could say.
Yes, definitely. What did you listen to on the way in?
Silence.
Great.
I didn't listen to anything.
On purpose or because you were so lost in thought?
You know, sometimes it's just nice to start your mornings with nothing and get lost in the thoughts.
That's great.
You know?
I totally agree. Sometimes I turn on music and I'm like, what am I hiding from?
actually, in the past, I find myself when I have the radio on that I'll put it onto white noise without even noticing that it's there. And I will listen to it for 20, 30 minutes.
Totally.
But I find it comforting. So.
Yeah.
Would you listen to like nature sounds in your car, or would that be too much of a disconnect?
Like, so it's currently, like, right now, my situation is I don't have an aux cord coming out of the car, so my setup is just a small little speaker with the dongle and the phone.
Yes,
you can't get much from it.
But. I was in a bad rental car once, and I had a long trip to make. I had to drive from Myrtle Beach to New York, and I stopped in a Walmart and I bought computer speakers and duct taped them to the
seats. To the back of the seats.
To the back of the seats. I had surround sound going for the whole drive. It was great.
That's so loud. Yeah. How unnerving while driving.
You couldn't
you
hear anybody else.
You obviously took them back, right? After.
Yeah, did you return him?
He didn't return him.
I don't remember. Wow. I don't think I did.
Keep
I think
the I just, receipt.
I really should have. I really should have.
Go through everything in your house and thank it, including the receipt. All right. Morthen, hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm Morthen. I am queer, gay, sexually fluid, depending on what day. a comedian and, yeah.
Cool.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. What did you listen to?
Okay, cool. I'm glad you asked me. I was like, I usually always listen to this is Whitney Houston's radio on Spotify. Ooh. Oh yeah. My God. It's so good. Because really? You like never know which Whitney Houston song you're going to get up top.
It's always going to be Whitney Houston, not just like yeah, related
only,
artists.
No, it's only going to ever
probably
be.
Probably like one artist that tips in.
Why is Mariah in this? Get out of here, Mariah.
Wow, how's Blink 182 on here? This is wild.
No. But it's always Whitney, and it's so good because I could just like lip sync while I drive, and I'm just like, I get so.
Do you lip sync or do you sing?
Both, a combination of both. But usually, I don't know, it depends, you know.
Yeah.
It depends what kind of mood
I sing if no one else is in the car. Oh. And then if other people are in the car, I lip sync.
Do you really go for it?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm like, and ah! Wow. And everyone's like, what's happening? And
that's
I'm like,
incredible.
Yeah. It feels really good in the morning. Like it gets you up and going.
It's great.
Ooh. My car doesn't feel like a safe place like that, but obviously it can be loud.
Yeah. Wait, is your car like people always looking in on it or?
No.
Why isn't your car a safe place? I need
to know.
Well,
I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's just. I'm sure that it's nice that you can blast.
Oh yeah, no, really loud. Yeah.
You know, this is really.
Oh yeah.
I forgot about this.
You can't get lost in that.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm noticing when I put it on the dash where the window is, it gets more sound.
Mm-hmm. I do that too.
Is it distracting?
No, it's just louder. Oh, okay. It's great.
Yeah. Well, we have a great show for you today. We are going to hop right in. We've had Grant on the show a number of times.
It's nice to be here.
It's so great to have you back.
Anytime I come on the show, I feel like I talk way more about my sexual preferences than any other guests. And I hope that continues today. Right. We'll see where the conversation goes.
Why not? This is a safe space. I feel like I wanted this podcast to be... Like, if someone is in the closet, they can just turn on this podcast, and then it feels like now they're in a room with four other queer people talking frankly about being queer. You know what I mean? No, there's no like, oh, that's too far or gross. There is no gross.
But I get that when I sit and talk with other queer people sometimes. Like, hey, that's gross. Don't say that.
Don't let them yuck your yum, Grant.
I never do. It never stops me.
this is the part of the show where we kind of talk about coming out. How did you guys come out? What was it like?
Ooh, who wants to start? Do you want to go?
I don't think I've ever told my coming out story on this pod. Like the first time I ever said to somebody, I'm bi. I was in college. I was a freshman in college. And I'd been doing, you know, bi shit for years. I've been really going for it. It was great. But I was a freshman in college. The first time I like said it out loud, we were in a bar. We were in this great bar that I won't say the name of in New York because they were serving us drinks underage. And I don't think our lawyers like it so much when I start laying into places that do things that are illegal. But there was a great bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that bar, I believe, is still there. And it's on 2nd Avenue if anyone really feels like they need to find it. But at the bathrooms, you had to walk out of into like this apartment building that it was inside of and down into the basement. So they had these bathrooms in the middle of nowhere. And we were 18, gone drunk. Mm-hmm. And we had this great friend, Liz, whose last name I won't say, who was very dramatic and got very drunk and liked to scream and yell when she was drunk.
This sounds like acting school.
This is, yeah, yeah, this is it was full of
you,
actors.
You studied acting
bar.
I know that.
I studied acting. And me and all my other actor friends were underage drinking in a bar on 2nd Avenue and 9th Street.
We know so much about this bar.
I'm not saying what bar.
9th Street, though.
And so Liz was drunk and throwing up in the bathroom.
Nice.
And there was that underage drinking thing. And it's like, we all have to help her. And so it's So there was people rushing to her aid, and then some of us hanging back in the back, kind of laughing at the whole thing, like, yeah, she's fine, and making jokes. And Liz was yelling because I don't remember why, but the thesis she had a performance that night. The thesis of the yelling was, "You men, all you want to do is fuck us." Because Liz was a Tennessee Williams character. Yeah. And after that, I thought of the pithy line, and I said, "Well, that's not all I want to do. I'm bisexual." Thinking everyone would be like, "Ha ha ha, what a funny joke." Anyway, back to Liz. And what happened was, "Ha ha, wait, really?" And so I was like, yeah.
Do you think in your mind you were like, I've been dying
to
try this on and let people know who I really am?
I was looking for
really
a situation
am.
When I could just
this
like,
was it,
maybe
Liz.
This, maybe they'll think I'm a joke, but then I can say it.
I did that all the time, telling like, kind of like jokingly, yep. like alluding to maybe being into women. Like, oh, well, I would marry her.
How would you subtly do that?
It was always in jokes. Same thing, where it's just like, oh, I know what I'll say. But then inside you're like, that felt so good to say out
God,
loud.
That was incredible. I've named myself.
That's totally the opposite to being gay. You can't even make jokes.
Or the chains strange to sit in front of?
No, I just stroke my head on something. I want to take away from your story. It was great.
That's sort of, we're at the end. Then people are like, great, that's great. And of course. Yeah. It was a bar full of drunk actors. They were all very supportive. It was wonderful.
Yeah, totally. You felt embraced.
I did. Mm. I did.
That's beautiful.
Then I
Thank
slept
you.
With some of them.
Liz has won an Oscar.
Couldn't be further away from my experience. I came out and then like desert years passed before I kissed someone for the first time.
Really? You were out for a long time and then didn't kiss
I was
anyone.
Just like, I know I am gay.
You were waiting.
The proof I have? None.
Did you come out to people?
Yes. I came out to my mom. I came out to like everyone around me and then was just like, no, I know that I am gay. And then like years passed and then I made out with someone on my birthday.
Oh.
She had adult braces. Sad.
That's so hot.
She was great.
What's that like kissing?
Fun.
Fun?
Kissing in general or kissing
someone
with braces?
With,
Oh, yeah. It was it was more like, I cannot believe I'm kissing a woman. So that kind of overshadowed.
The braces were like, whatever. We're like an added factor.
Yeah.
You're like, forget about the braces.
Fair. Yeah. Fair. You guys?
Fair. Do you want to go first?
Yeah. So, God. So my mom actually, I'm from the Dominican Republic and my mom owns a salon. So I kind of grew up in a salon with other gay guys. So I never really had a chance to ever come out. I was just like, prancing around and acting sort of like myself.
Wow.
And like, I never had a real chance to be like, hey, mom, I'm gay. So and I never really had that. But my mom, like, I think when I was like 10, she maybe like, and as a 10-year-old, you're like kind of horny, like my mom did like walk in on me like deep throwing a banana though.
No way.
No, like as in like a for real thing. But I would do it with like all like I would, like mangoes too. You're like put the whole mango in your mouth. Like,
a whole mango?
Wow.
Okay, but
No shame.
No,
no
I think
shame.
It's great. I'm wow. So a whole mango. All right,
the
sure.
whole thing, yeah. I mean, I live in a tropical island,
And that's
like
what started the
And
congress.
I think that's when she was like, okay. Like, she was like, this is like...
Do you remember...
It was like, it was mortifying. Like,
of course I know why, but do you remember like, were you consciously like practicing?
No, I was just like, I think, there were other gay guys and like, I maybe had like seen them play around with the like, oh, blah, blah,
totally.
I was just like kind of imitating and like I remember like her walking in and just me being like, oh no. Like,
wow, it's almost like masturbating, honestly.
Yeah, actually, which she never caught me, by the way, which I'm proud of.
Wow.
I did a good job with that. Yeah.
Because I didn't, but I just walked around rigidly being like, I don't know how to fix this. Oh, wow. Wait, so that... Okay, so I, on the flip side of that, feel like I had to, like, come out and have it be so dramatic. But
no.
It feels like it was kind of, like, effortless.
No, it was just
bit.
Like, yeah, because there were so many gay guys around, and, like, it was, like, really fun, because I was
wonderful.
Like, oh, like, whatever. Yeah, girl. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
And I was just, like, in the back.
How
know.
Was it being in the Dominican Republic? How was it... being gay
well
there.
I was It wasn't too bad mm-hmm. because I sort of, my mom like had this big place and like, you know, I was always at the salon. Like I was kind of sheltered and I had a room full of mirrors. Like, you know, you can imagine. Yeah, like, yeah. It was like me times 10, like, you know.
Just sweeping.
just me just dancing in front of the mirror like, yes, come on, girl. Put yes. your back into it. So it wasn't really bad. But when I went outside, I had to act differently. It was,
really?
It was, I had like a different persona because I knew that being gay was wrong. And I was like, you need to be manlier, like, yeah.
Wow. It's like machismo, kind
yeah, machismo, yeah, claro, yeah. You have to, like, be like, the voice has to be a little deeper, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah,
wow. Like, do you still find yourself doing that now?
Not as much. But I definitely, like, you know, butch it up sometimes, you know what I'm saying?
In an Uber. You talk about that on this podcast so much. In a rideshare car, the amount of, like, straight talk that goes down. Like, the second you're in the car, like... Yeah. You any odd tricks tonight?
Or oh like, yeah, for oh, me, always.
Like
yeah.
I
always.
Never get that, but every guy is like, "That's the straightest that. Place on earth."
Oh, people always like, "Yeah, you know how the girls?" And I'm like, "The girls are great, but I don't like them."
Yeah, yeah. The girls are all my friends. All right, cool. Kira, how'd it go down for you?
I want to keep it light.
Yeah, I know you absolutely don't have to.
So, my parents actually, I was working at a salon, like 19, 20 years old, and then I just met this 30-year-old that just took my heart.
Really?
Yeah, she was probably like, and I think I liked her because she was like the first lesbian that, you know, was just, you know, more of what I was looking for.
Yeah,
I guess.
Totally. Not to be binary, but I know what you're talking about. Like, I feel like I saw so many very butch lesbians growing up and was like, well, that's not really who I picture myself ending up with. Totally. I must not be gay.
Exactly.
But then when you finally see like your your type, yeah. you're like, oh, wow.
I met this person and I would come to L.A. to see them. Like I would go to shows. I would take the train. I would hope to stay with her 10 years. My senior.
Wow. Yeah.
And broke my heart. She didn't feel the same, but it kind of felt like she led me on a little bit.
I mean, you came to LA.
So that was like the first time that I recognized that I had like feelings for, like I was attracted to somebody. And then I told my parents and they're Christian.
Yeah. Same.
So it wasn't really received well.
Totally.
So,
was it, what no, was it like? I mean, was it like a, look, I feel this way? And they were like, no.
It was, I mean, you know, my mom's from Puerto Rico. My dad's has Mexican roots. Oh, they're yeah. like, there's a lot of shame in being gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like they don't understand it. It's better now. But when I came out, it was very much silent treatment in the house. Ooh. But what it taught me was like I ended up meeting some of my closest friends that really embraced me. I was like kind of still teetering with like Christianity a little bit.
Yeah.
And those friends in that community just completely like banished me in a lot of ways. They were like not my friend anymore. They were like, oh well, this is, you know, are you sure you want to do this? This is a choice, you know.
Yep.
Like they brought like a porn analogy, I remember. I can't think of it right now, but they were like, you know, I enjoy watching porn, but do I? No. You know, like I try to abstain from it. Like
someone said to me? I came out to a Christian friend too, and she was like, it was like around when Katy Perry's I Kissed a Girl. Yep.
That was my ringtone, by the way. As a joke.
Yeah, well, a joke, huh? A joke that felt really good. the role comedy plays in like squeaking by as a closeted person is huge. But I remember someone was like trying to like analyze the lyrics to I Kissed a Girl, like my Christian friend, and she was like, kissing is fun, but it doesn't mean like it's natural. Like you get such a like rush from kissing another girl because it's so unnatural like addicted to that high. And I just remember being like, wow, maybe that is true. Like maybe I'm just chasing unnatural high.
I mean, I knew I was gay since I was like 5. And I had a boyfriend and like I went to a Christian high school. I had a boyfriend for 2 weeks. His name was Sean. He at lunch we would like I would sit away from
him. Oh no.
Like I'd be like, I see you.
Oh,
I see
poor you over Sean. There.
And when we'd hold hands and all, it felt very unnatural. So these feelings that I felt for this 30-year-old was like, sign me up.
Click. Yeah.
You know?
Fully. Yes.
And since then.
Now you say the relationship has gotten better with your parents. Is it? Has
slightly.
It been...
It's like a don't say, don't
sure.
tell.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sure. it's like when I bring up partners or anything, they're like, oh, did you do the, you know, like, did you see what was in the pay? You know, like they'll just kind of.
Quick
veer
subject.
It to something
ooh,
else.
Yeah.
So, but they're, you know, they're getting better. My dad's kind of, he'll ask weird questions to appear hip.
Really?
I mean, they're trying. So
yeah, yeah.
At least they're trying. It could be worse.
Like,
who's Puerto
Rican?
Who's
Mexican?
My mom is from the Guavo.
Okay.
And my dad, he's like Compton, so he also has a lot of
hood.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
There is
lovely
something.
People.
There is something adorable to me about parents asking kind of inappropriate questions in an effort to connect.
Totally.
To be like, so. Is your friend, do you think he's handsome or like
yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Yeah, my mom still calls anyone I'm dating my friend.
Just, oh, like, God.
Because, no, and I think she doesn't want to like say like, well, maybe they're not boyfriends yet.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. It's, yeah, you don't have a lot of like long-term
partners. I don't.
Well, which is like,
I'm a mess.
She knows that. She's like,
She knows, like, you're
we
not,
know.
He's not your boyfriend.
He's your friend.
I remember one of my family members recently asking me like, oh, so he asked me a very personal question about like, or asked my brother's partner and them like, kind of a sexual question, like, you know, what happens in the bedroom? Mm. And I looked at him, I was like, would you feel comfortable if I asked you that?
Yeah.
You know, like, why would you ask that?
We're not animals on
my
display.
Mom actually
and
asked
I was,
me that.
I told him, I was like, she you know, that you can also go to, you know, the, what is it, pornhub.com.
Yeah. The
type
Pornhub.
In gay.
What is it? I've never heard of this.
I didn't know Pornhub. I didn't know
the hub for porn.
Do your research. You might find something you like.
That feeds into that. You hear it less now, but there's the gay guys get the question, and I imagine gay women also get the question of, so who's the man and who's the woman?
Fully, yeah.
Which is so much about like who sticks what where.
Yeah.
And
you're like, that's such one, awkward. Very personal, and two, hopefully always changing. Like,
yeah,
what,
right?
What a sad setup.
We're both the man.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like,
it makes it interesting. You know?
I cry at paintings. Is that, I don't know, what does that say? Does that inform any of this? Yeah, I'll watch a painting and I'll cry about it because it's wonderful.
Oh my God.
Because the world's full of beauty if we just let it be.
Oh, wow. American Beauty, is that from, are you watching a bag kind of toss away in the wind?
I just by accident learned the like last 2 minutes of American Beauty verbatim, not from watching
like
a lot.
Like as a monologue?
And I can't say it. I can't do it.
He just has it on deck. He's like, here we go.
I just happened to like pull out glasses.
I would like
costume
to know
change.
One monologue that I can use in,
like, at parties.
They say that the second before you die.
No, absolutely not. Also, of all monologues, yeah.
American
Kevin
Beauty. I'll
Spacey
do Kevin Spacey.
Monologue out.
Should we dig into Kevin Spacey here on this jokey podcast?
Oh, absolutely.
Do we think that'd be great?
Oh, did I mean? Did you guys saw that like video that came out? Was it during the Grammys or what? That commercial that came out and he was like, you couldn't tell if he was playing that character.
Oh, when he
on
like his denial video
House
when
of
he
cards,
when
but
he
it was
came,
very aggressive.
Did it in character?
Oh,
what a psycho!
Full
what
psycho.
A mess. Yes,
full
I
psycho.
Did see that video. Oof.
This segues actually perfectly into our haunted phrase
God,
of the day.
Oh,
no, not Kevin Spacey. Just what we're talking about with coming
okay,
out.
Okay, great.
Jesus.
What if the word was Kevin Spacey?
Ooh.
It's not. Today's haunted phrase here in this dark dungeon together is the phrase, just a phase.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Did you ever hear that?
Oh,
did
yeah.
Encounter
yeah.
this?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I used to think it. I used to. I did a very good job. You know, I came out, like I said, I came out. I said I was bi for the first time when I was 19. Mm. I'd probably come out to myself a couple years before that, but I was doing shit, you know, well before then. And I did such a good job. I don't ever think I thought, like, it's just a phase, but I did such a good job of, like, walling off that part of myself. I spent a lot of time, you know, because I am bi, like, I know I've said this on this podcast before, but I spent a lot of time, like, sitting analyzing, like, am I gay? And I'm like, no, I really do like women, so I must not be gay. And I won't give that any more thought.
Yeah, totally.
That's That's actually really funny because I have the complete opposite. Like, I don't consider myself bi, but at like around 18, I started dating a girl, which was really, we dated for like 2 years, and it was really weird. She's crazy. And then, like, I was like, am I, like, I was like, I know I'm not straight, but then I, like, couldn't watch gay porn, but I was like, I don't know, this is weird. So I was like, I can't date you anymore. I had to, like, walk out of this because I definitely think I'm gay, but I never, ever thought to be bi. Like, it was never, like, it was never.
I remember it being a huge relief when I figured out, like, oh, I'm bi. Oh, that explains it all. Like, just being thrilled.
True. There wasn't a lot, like, around growing up about bisexual people.
You're bi, you're gay.
Technology right. Knowledge is power.
It really is.
It really is helpful.
It, especially when it's self-knowledge. My therapist is very excited for that.
It's nice when those patterns click.
Yeah, you know? It's like, oh, that makes sense.
When you come
sense.
Clear, Chris is like, oh.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
This is wonderful. I
such a good time.
I love talking to queer people. And I hate talking to straight people so much. It's just bad all the time. Truly. With their they wear their like.
This turns into a like
they wear cologne and shit.
Podcast. All right, comrades, go out there and punch a straight person.
So, today,
I feel like the just a phase thing kind of coincides with like a hope. That I'll have like a normal life or like a normal future. Like, oh, well, maybe I'll like date women and then I'll end up like with a husband who like we can have kids or, you know, it's like a lot of, and then you just kind of learn like you have all the same options with the same sex partner. You know what I mean? Like, it's learning.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I mean,
growing
back
up,
then, I was
none
like,
of that was visible. That was not, you know, ever. It was like, the gay best friend was like always alone and like moonwalking into the room and running away alone. You know, like
the speed at which that has changed too. Like in terms of like, you know, the course of history, you know, it's changed in my lifetime. Like that, you know, gay marriage exists since I've been an adult.
Totally.
You know, people don't. I remember there was another gay guy who. It turned out now is like, oh yeah, of course he's a gay guy, but he'd compare himself to Jack on Will and Grace a whole bunch because there was no other representation of like male femininity.
Exactly.
Yeah, that actually, yeah, that's why I think I love that show so much because it was like, oh my god, he could be so gay and
totally
be like okay with it. And I was like, okay, yes.
But it's cool that now, you know, like, I mean, I feel like when I saw that, I had a lot of shame seeing that because I didn't identify with that,
right?
You know, and like you were saying, when you'd see like some like butcher lesbians. Is like, I don't know if I identify with that either. So this new kind of like, you know, like hearing queer is just so wonderful because it just opens things up. But I'm starting to see like, you know, more queer people that are just humans and people.
Yep. Yes.
And they're not like, I don't
caricature.
Know. Not to say it's shame or anyone.
No,
be your
totally.
True self. But it's like, it's nice to see those kind of examples.
But it is true when something is so like pushed underground, the kind of the extremes are what are able to kind of pop up, you know, like.
Excuse me, sorry.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Okay? Someone's farting with a drill. But like, yes, being gay is so shunned that only the people that are like so gay burst through, you know? And then that's what we have. Yeah.
Yes,
burst
I'm here.
And, you know, that to me speaks to some of the gay male bullshit around mask versus femme.
Because let's get into
like,
it.
The people that you know are gay when you're young are people that are femme. There's like there's mask privilege amongst gay guys
like passing
privilege
totally
and all the internalized homophobia of like, oh well, I might be gay but I won't be like them because it's fear of being perceived as gay
and same with women femme women can pass and you know some I have so many friends that are like I just came out so late. And it's like, no, you didn't. You're just like femme. Like you were able to kind of exist in this world.
Yeah.
Not get called
and
out.
And also
not,
good for you, you know?
And also, like get out there.
At least you got it while you were really young, you know? Or like at some point you discovered it.
Totally.
Because it's like to go your whole life and not make that discovery or like, I think, I don't know. I would just really regret
people,
that.
Like, you know, people come out late in life and now it's being put, you know, it's just so in the media it's so like in everyone's face that you like being queer is a very valid option
and kids know
like
now like
you it's know, like oh how lovely
kids are coming on like middle school and,
oh it's
like,
great yeah, it's great. Great I mean totally. There's been a few shows I watched recently that I have a hard time ingesting like because I just didn't realize how much shame, even just like hearing that stuff, like, I mean, Seinfeld, perfect example.
Yep.
But there's so, I'll watch was something and character? Just still, yeah, I mean, you know, the scene where
there's
she's
not
dating,
there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, like she wants to date the other guy and pull him onto the team.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
she was
yeah,
like,
yeah.
You should play on her team. Yeah. We really need a, like a...
Oh, my God, yeah.
But I mean, I've been noticing and picking up on that I existed with a lot of that rhetoric, as we all did.
Yes.
You know.
If you watch Friends, it's like so transphobic. Like Chandler's like, mom or my dad's now my mom, you know, like he like has a meltdown every time he thinks about his like mom who happens to be trans. It's like big punchline in Friends. You're like, wow,
played
it's...
by famous trans actress Kathleen Turner.
Not
thank god they casted someone who is actually trans.
It feels
good to shake all of that. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about what you guys do on just a like health level. How do you find your mental health? What are some things that you guys do? I mean, sometimes it's kind of out of sight, out of mind for me. Like, cool, I came out of the closet and now it's all fine. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes it flares back up where I'm like, oh wow, I did carry a lot of shame for a long time. Or
Please.
I insist.
I mean, this has little to do with queerness and more just mental health. I remember I got a good friend of mine, a guy named had quit drinking, and is still alive. So he has quit drinking, and was I killed my friend. He deserved it. He sucks. He and I were talking one night about the benefits of AA and what he really gets out of it, and how he applies some of that across his life. And he said when he's feeling down, and the way he would cope with that is by drinking, he said, what I do is I call someone and I ask them about themselves, and I just stop talking about myself and get out of my own bullshit for a little bit. And that I thought was just a great phrasing of that practice, which I think is important, of like, just get out of your own narcissism, get out of your own bullshit, and ask someone about themselves.
Yes. There was a checklist that went around, I remember, like on Tumblr or something, that was like, are you really depressed? Go through this checklist and then check back in with yourself. And it was really small things like take a shower, eat something, clean your room, call someone and have a small chat with them. Mm-hmm. And it was just like five simple things. And I remember being like, wow. Like, a lot of times when I'm like at a definite low, I'm like, cool, I haven't done any of those things.
Yeah.
And I'm spinning out of control.
A shower always solves anything for me, actually.
Really?
I'm like, a shower.
Yeah. Brushing my teeth is like huge.
Same.
If I start like with like a kind of a pattern of like health, like, you know, taking care of yourself, it's like if I brush my teeth and I start running, it's like, oh, I'm noticing that I'm taking care of myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Therapy definitely helps.
Absolutely. Same. Yeah. I love going to therapy. Like, it's such a nightmare at first. I don't know if you had this too, but I feel like when I started going to therapy, it just kicked up so much stuff that I had like perfectly kept like, all right, that lives there and it sucks, but we don't have to talk about that.
Ever.
And then like a therapist just walks in and is like, what's this? What's this? You know, like that fucking, isn't that a Disney movie? What's this? What's this? It's Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. There's something
which was what happens
which
when
is what happened.
The therapist
my therapist is Jack Skellington.
Just but, like in your tattoo.
Just like, I was trying to dare Grant to get a Jack Skellington tattoo. But
your neck.
I don't need to go off on Disney goths right now. That's probably not. That's probably not well. But if you watch, you're welcome to the show. Your personality isn't at all annoying. Please continue.
I don't think they exist anymore.
Disney goths. I bet they do.
Growing up.
I bet they.
Therapy has helped a lot.
Therapy.
For me,
I've only probably like the past couple of years, it all kind of came to the surface. Like there was no way avoiding the shame that I carried with me.
Totally.
And I had to like, I'm learning now to like kind of free myself up, you know, because I really ran from a lot of shit.
Yeah, same.
Without realizing
And you get
it,
good
you know?
At it. You get really good at like,
dodging them. And,
yeah, like, what? Nope, I don't need to worry about my shit. I'm yeah. maintaining.
Well, I mean, I hung out with a lot of cis friends when I first came out, and I was wondering why like I didn't feel comfortable or seen for so long. And then I met like Allie and like have made so many more queer friends in my life that I'm like, why didn't I do this before? Like, what was I running from? I don't know.
That's so funny that you mentioned that, because actually while I was in high school, I started going to like the pier in Christopher Street, you know, the gay. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I was like, oh, there's different types of, I didn't realize that there was, you know, there was trans. I didn't know any of this. I was like, oh, there's, you know, guys that are really feminine. There's guys that are really masculine. There's guys that play baseball. I was like, oh, this is, I was like, this is like, okay, cool. I thought it was just like, you have to like, you know, be flaming gay to be gay. And I didn't really understand. That.
And then you see how like diverse it can be, and you can see yourself in that
community.
You
like put yourself in, you're like, oh, okay, cool, like,
totally,
I don't have to be one thing or the other, I could just kind of be me.
And that does, you know, we get questions a lot on this show of like, you know, how do I feel like I'm not the right kind of gay person, as sort of like what a lot of it boils down to.
Oh, I'm a terrible gay.
That's it. And it's like, and it turns, and you can be gay and not be one of those things. You do kind of have to seek out other gay people to find that for yourself.
Yeah, and sometimes like the unfortunate answer is you just gotta wait until it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we met after like a march or something, and I walked into a sushi place to eat alone, and you and another friend
Michael,
were there, and we hadn't even met before. You were just like, wanna all eat together? And
I was
like,
it's really great, you know?
But now it's easier though with social media. And
it's true.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I know we didn't meet through like social media.
But it's like you kind of like, you know, you have like these like huge like gay super Insta famous people that you're like, oh, like, you know, if I was
like
8 years old.
Yeah,
to see yourself.
Yeah,
to
see
yourself.
Oh, totally. I mean, in like actually meeting like a friend that you're gonna hang out with. Yeah.
Real life, I don't know about that.
Real life, I don't fuck with that.
It was when I met you that I was like, oh, there are really cool queer people out there, and it's expanded beyond that. Which is really great.
And to find people who even identify the way, you know, people who identify as trans, people who identify, like guys who identify as bisexual, like you can find so many different kinds of people of whom that is true.
Yeah.
And that is lovely.
The true freaks, man.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah. Let me find my other true freaks. This is a perfect time. Let's move into, we have a few questions today. You guys ready? You buckled?
No. Allie, I'm so scared.
Yes, hold on to our baby. This
Jack
is a question from Scrungy Bungus. Get ready. This is off the Discord. I recently came out as male to female trans to my moms. It went as well as you can really hope for, as they are both really supportive and told me about how I was in the right family and how I actually have two male to female relatives, an aunt and a cousin. My stepmom even went and found a pile of books about transitioning that she owned and is letting me read them. But despite having the dream coming out, I'm still intensely embarrassed to talk about it with either of them. Have you ever been ashamed to talk about your coming out with someone, even if they are 100% supportive?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah?
And I think it's different with parents. I do. I think there's...
Yeah, they know you differently, yeah.
You have, in addition to dealing with the internalized homophobia that we all have, you also have your relationship with your parents that is heavy and that isn't a friendship. It shouldn't be a friendship. It can have elements of friendship to it, but it is something else. It's like I was saying earlier. It's like, you know, my mom will tiptoe around. You know, it's like, how are things with you and.
Friend.
We all know.
Not out of homophobia, but out of, I think,
it might lead to a whole conversation that she maybe not be ready for.
It's not even so, because my mom's absolutely ready for the conversation. Oh. My parents were champions when I came out to them. They're wonderful and are great at it and are liberal, right-thinking people who know gay people in their lives. Don't want to like overstep their boundaries they're not my therapist. They're not, like, they don't want to kick over like the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And so it is different with parents.
Yeah. I think especially speaking to like the trans element.
Sure.
Of this,
yes.
It is kind of hard to talk to my mom about transition. Mm. I'm on track to get top surgery. Mm. And there is, like, I don't know if it's just, like, me holding this for her and she's, like, not sending out this vibe at all, but it is kind of like, you, like, created me. Like, you birthed me and now I'm gonna, like, alter that body. Or you know what I mean? Like, that's it. So fucked up to be like, I made that body, don't change it.
Can I ask, though, about that? Because I'm curious, too. Is there an element... If I were in your position, I could see an element of guilt over, like, saying to a parent, you didn't raise me in the gender that I really was.
Well, I think that's there too. I think because my mom was always like, oh, you're so, you know, tomboy. And and then it was like, oh, you're like really, you know, masculine dressing young woman. And like, you're gay. Oh, you know, like all signs pointing to like, come on.
I think like, you know, with some of my trans friends, I consider them so brave for taking that. Like, coming out is hard, totally. It's like a whole different step. to know yourself so much that this is how I'm gonna feel comfortable. So I'm gonna feel beautiful, and I think that's so brave. Like, I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
So much respect.
Yes,
for that.
Yeah. Like, when it comes to these kind of permanent changes or something like that. You know, everyone like gets so like scary around it. Like all the meetings I've had for this surgery, people are like, you know, it's not reversible. And I'm like, will you promise me that? You know, like that's what I'm
that's
here
what
for.
I want.
Yeah, you know, like if I wake up like a couple years later, like back with the same chest, like what is going on? But I could totally see like it going really well. It's also, there's also an element to talking to your parents about like, you're talking about like your sexual preference or like you're talking about how you want to be seen like naked and hot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm changing my body to feel like comfortable in it, but also to be like fucking hot.
Yeah.
You know, like in the way that I want to be. Yeah, so I'm not going to sit with my mom and be like, so I'm going to be like buff.
It's the same way. Like queerness isn't just sex, but there is a sexual element. It's a sex and love element, but sex is a part of it.
Yeah.
And that is an odd thing to talk to about your parents.
Yeah.
I think too, and I can't speak with authority about this, but there probably is. I mean, I think the way just culturally transness is talked about is like the way gayness was talked about in like the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't where gayness is and queerness.
Totally. It's evolved,
is.
Though.
It is evolving.
Where it starts is like the conversation kind of begins in these kind of spaces, you know, because I do see it evolving. A lot. I mean, going with the shame, my aunt actually asked me if I was gay, and I remember it hurting so much. She like pulled me aside. I went to get a haircut from her, and then she was like, you're gay, right?
Oh, wow.
And because everyone in the salon thinks you are. And I just remember being like, it was hard, you know, to like that being the first instance of like not being able to discover it myself and approach it.
That's
huge.
That's huge. When other people tell you,
worst.
I've always been just androgynous, so it's like when I came out, I was like, of course.
And of course, that like, I mean, I have kids. We all know kids like that. You know, my cousin's gay.
They're push like a $20 bill into their hand as you pass. like, good luck.
Listen,
it's gonna be a rough road.
It's gonna be great, but you've got
keep your head up, buddy.
You've got like five tough conversations ahead of you, so keep your head up.
Hopefully not. I guess like kids now.
No, it's changed. It's definitely changed.
A little bit more wiggle room.
Yeah, no, the kids could come out now.
The conversation now is fuckers.
We just all get so bitter in this. I know. In this dark basement.
I actually remember in middle school, I would actually, I would give this kid, like I would pay this kid, sometimes in like money, but sometimes in candy, to hold my hand underneath the table.
No way.
Like that's how I knew that it was like, I was like, but like we had a mutual agreement that it was like, so and it was like, it was just so great to like to do that, but I know that that was so wrong, but he was willing to do it if I gave him money.
My gosh.
Was he gay?
I don't know, maybe I haven't seen him.
He's like that t-shirt that they sell at Bad Beaches. Like, I'm not gay, but $20 is $20.
Yeah. He was an entrepreneur, that's who he was. He now owns Snapchat, so.
Honestly, I believe it. I found out today the owner of Grindr is a Republican. All right, anyway.
I think former owner.
How?
Oh yeah,
it's owned by
how much self-hate you must have to be a Republican. I don't get it.
Well,
maybe you don't.
I am fascinated by this.
He created Grindr. I mean,
because queer Republicans absolutely exist. So do queer Christians. I feel like this is just a group of people I want to know more about.
The politics is so black and white because you can be like fiscally conservative and then, you know, socially Democrats.
I should say, too, I don't know that he's a Republican. I think that's that information's coming from me. I think that he is. I think I've read that.
At some point, I think I've read that. Los Angeles.
Our offices look at the Grindr offices.
I don't even believe that. All right, next question. Throughout high school, I switched back and forth from calling myself bisexual to calling myself a lesbian, and from being trans, female to male, to being genderqueer. It was a very confusing time, especially because I was often told by people things like bisexuality doesn't exist, or that I had to pick a gender, etc. I finally feel comfortable calling myself bisexual and genderqueer, but now I get pushback because of how many times I switched labels in the past. How should I handle this and how should I respond?
I think that you have no control over how other people are going to perceive you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, if...
Shit, be whatever you want, girl. Just
absolutely.
Do it. I mean, you know, if you wake up one day... And...
Yeah, and if you're comfortable with it, who gives a shit?
Yeah, and the idea of switching, I think, is like... Have you looked at the culture around us?
Also,
the culture around us is switching and allowing me to feel comfortable enough.
Yeah, and I think they're also projecting their own fear and not exploring that. It's like you going and exploring your true self and kind of going back and forth. I think that's like brave.
Yes.
I think the best response if someone actually gives you pushback of that is like, all right, then don't fuck me. But
that's a response.
It's like, all right, well then you know
don't
what?
Fuck
then,
me.
You
not
don't
today.
You don't have to sleep with me. That's not that's you know I don't know the situation, but I think you're probably exactly right that sounds like some projection of it's like you're self-conscious about the amount of times that you have
switched.
I've identified in a different way.
Sexuality is so complex, too. Do you guys listen to the Risk podcast at all with Kevin?
Yes. Yeah.
I love some of the stories because it's like, it can get so complicated. Some people can feel half and half. It's like, it can get so amazing and weird and interesting, and for you to take those steps is so freeing. So do it.
There's no room for like perfectionism when it comes to like figuring out who you are.
I feel like
you can't
straight
just,
people
like,
need it in a box though.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like you need to be in a compartment or so I can't understand you.
Yes.
And that's on them.
Yes.
So.
Exactly.
It's funny because I was really masculine sort of growing up because I had to kind of be the environment, the Dominican Republic, the Bronx. But sort of when I moved here, I became like a lot more feminine and I got in touch with that. And I was like, okay.
Yes.
Like, you know, it's okay. Like, it's okay. And then I go back and forth, but it's like okay to do that.
I had a similar thing where I think I was being extra masculine, I think, when I first came out because I felt like that attracted the type of women that I was into. Mm. And I'm just now realizing a lot more feminine things about myself. And it feels good to have both and just be free in that way.
And I think that's sort of this in an encapsulation where it's like, sometimes you behave a certain way. There's nothing wrong with, you know, like if I'm going out, I dress better than this. Like I want to, like, you know, I want to present a certain way at certain times. There's nothing wrong with presenting yourself in different situations in different ways. You're not lying.
Switch it up.
Switching all the time.
Mean, there's some days where it's like I want to be a little bit more effeminate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like drag, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But
sometimes it pushes too far, and I'm like, I am in
nice
drag.
It's kind of nice to lean into that and feel that and like lean into it.
Yeah, give yourself the freedom to go there because it is wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling.
Wear that skirt.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, yeah. That was a great one. Okay. As a closeted person, especially in a group, I feel the need to act like I enjoy homophobic jokes. Oh, has this ever been your experience? How much do you think this has affected your sense of humor, if at all, from...
Shame. I'd say that, you know, I would now call it out. Like, I wouldn't, you know, I would stand up for myself because it's like, you know, so much of my identity and what makes me beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck them. If they're not going to be supportive to and keep you in that closet of like discovering yourself and like finding true love and like being free, then like you don't need to hang out with them at all. Yeah. They're not good friends.
Yeah.
I do sympathize because back when I was a kid, it was fag everything.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
It was like
growing up, it was
everything
all
that everything that was bad was gay.
Yeah.
Everybody who was behaving wrong was a fag.
Yeah. Yes.
Fag was the lid of our time.
Yeah. It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah. Thank God people now have lit. What a positive.
Girl, you lit, girl. Yeah.
I love the culture for young people now.
That's pretty much what the show turns into. I just need a glass of wine and I'm pretty much a ghost. You kids.
So I sympathize with where he's at. I'm implying
closet,
gender from the name, but.
Oh, yeah. When you're in the closet, it is very like, you know. Yeah. You don't want to call it out.
You don't want to call it out because then they'll say, why do you care? And then you're like,
I don't remember if I've told this story on this podcast, but when I was in fifth grade, I switched schools. I had my hair cut into a bowl cut and wore only flame themed.
Where is this picture?
Get ready, baby.
Welcome to Flavortown.
Welcome to Flavortown.
Get your donkey sauce.
He got it from me. But anyway, so that's now I've set the table. You know what I look like. And I was in a class and this guy was making fun of gay people. And then this was like my first time to like stand up. And I went, because my uncle was gay. And I was like, hey, someone in my family is gay. And he went, yeah, you. And I was fucking roasted.
You were like, everyone was like, hey.
I was lit on fire.
And I know that that's bad, but that's a great
honestly,
fucking burn. And I know that it's
Alec.
Not good to celebrate, but that is very funny that
he said it.
He nailed
like,
you.
Oh, no. You know, I was like really stepping out to be like, now I'm an ally, you know. But so I do understand how when, you know, homophobic jokes are told, you're just kind of like, am I going to put a target on my back? I guess it depends on where you are.
I do want to give him some tools for what he can do if that's happening.
Yeah.
Like if someone's, you know, like making gay jokes, that happens to me so little now.
Yeah, like, exactly. Because I've like slowly surrounded myself with people mm-hmm. that
yeah.
I respect.
Yeah. You know? It's like, yeah. No one I respect makes gay jokes. Yeah, what year is it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we're talking about Paul Lynde.
That's so true. I haven't heard like a gay joke
yeah.
in a really long time.
Totally.
I got a laugh from the crew on that Paul Lynde joke. Look him up, kids. He was Templeton. So what do you do? So what do you do if you're in a small group, it's people you, if you don't want to, you're allowed to make it a thing. You're allowed to say, hey, that sort of sucks.
Yeah.
Or just don't hang out with them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like people who are making gay jokes aren't going to be fun in 5 years.
Yeah,
they might be gay. But
what like it felt like to be in the closet and like really empathize with this, you know, because it's. I don't know. I just don't.
Yeah.
It's something I don't identify.
Never had a closet.
If you're around people who are making gay jokes, then maybe that means you need to start putting yourself around gay people more or queer people. Find people online.
Yeah, I mean, ask yourself too, like what, like avoiding why you're not hanging out with like queer people.
Yeah.
I mean, for the longest time, truly, since like 3-4 years ago, I started hanging out with queer people.
Yeah,
you know, I was like kind of scared. I don't know. Why, you know? I don't know. That was my own shame that I had to go through.
Totally,
I think it's like that self discovery is so important.
Yes,
and finding your community.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd say like it situationally, just roast them back. Just like don't if like if they're making fun of you, roast them back. If they're making fun of gay people generally, turn it on them and just roast. Just, the ability to deliver a proper roast is truly an excellent skill.
A read in this case. A read. Just read them back.
Yeah.
Just put a tiny pair of glasses on and read them.
Throw them some shade. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. Yeah, like move the jokes onto something else. Like if you don't want to, if you're in a situation where you feel like you can't call it out, you know, move the conversation on. But
totally.
The world gets better when people are called out on their bullshit.
Totally.
So
yeah.
You know, that is a good thing to do.
Yeah,
it's scary. It's totally
agree.
Scary.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Ugh, love it. Love these questions. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. Please continue to upload them. We'll put an anonymous survey out if you feel comfortable. Ask them on the Discord. We love having your name in there.
The Discord.
Love
guys, get Dropout.
Once again,
if you're watching this on
God
YouTube,
damn, just hop on the Discord.
You cheap motherfuckers, get Dropout.
Yeah, let's go. Where can people find you? I think we've already put your social media handles up, but are there, what are you guys working on? Is there stuff that you'll be doing around town online. Plugs. Plugs is what I'm asking for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can always catch me doing stand-up at the Comedy Store. I'm always there. Host a monthly show called Ride or Die. Instagram. I do a real good Insta story every day, so follow me.
Shit stresses me out.
Oh, my God. So much fun.
Doing an Insta story?
Any kind of social media stuff.
Oh my God, I love it. I'm obsessed with it. I should have been a social media manager.
Oh my God.
You can take over my hand.
I'm seeing a man in heaven here.
I tell my friends, I'm like, let me log in. I have an idea right now. That's it.
Beautiful. You can find me at the Instagram handle. I try to not use it that much because it really does stress me out. Mm-hmm. I hate that's a part of like my job as a musician and artist. Mm-hmm. I really hate that. Mm-hmm. But you can find me there, and you know,
it's Curing music the Lesbians
on Instagram. But you can find my music on Spotify. Just released a new song with Devendra, which I'm really excited about because 100% of the proceeds are going to Trans Lifeline.
Yeah. Oh,
from now
forever.
To the end of time.
That's great. Okay. That's awesome.
You have to do is listen. You just press play. I mean, it's not that much to contribute, like, because the music industry's fucked.
Yeah. It's like 0.2 cents.
If you want to get involved, like, you know, and contribute, it's like really just share it with your friends. It's called Bright Future Ahead. And
it's a really good song.
Yeah, but our current plans, playing some shows, touring, working on a record. I really love this. I want to get more involved in my community. So
yes, perfect.
Yeah,
it's so valuable sitting and talking to queer people.
Yeah,
yes, I love it.
Like an honest conversation.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Very.
I was telling Allie that like in this earlier, but I just love the world that you are creating, and you are creating of just the things that you didn't have when you were growing up. Examples that you didn't have growing up, and I just love that you're creating that for people currently with self-discovery, having people like yourself
and
cool formats, you know.
Yeah.
So if
this had been a click away for me, night and day, honey. I wish I could go back and.
Did we ever upload it under like NFL Roundup?
We were talking about
like people who can't listen, like can't get caught listening to
Instead
queer stuff.
Instead of calling it Tales from the Closet, we were gonna like hide it for incognito people and call it like NFL Recap,
so that
they could download it and listen to it without anybody.
That's perfect.
We might still do that. Who knows? Grant, where can people find you other than on everything I'm on?
I was gonna say. I mean, if they're watching this, I hope they know. Please, God, I hope you know where to find me. Hit me up. I'm Pictures of Grant on Instagram. You know, if feel free to send me thirst traps. I'm down for that.
Yes. Slide in those DMs.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Get in there.
Also, yeah, you can message me as well.
Yeah,
you know,
like
please. Traps for Kira, please.
Yeah, I'm available. If you need a friend to talk to or anything, like you can lean in.
Hell yeah. Get you on Discord. We'll get you a username on Discord. Ooh. You sure hop in there.
Is it social media though? Because that can stresses me
it's
out.
Not, it's like a wonderful chat room.
It's like a chat room. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. Hope you guys have a great night. It is daytime here. I have no idea why I said night.
It's still the morning. This is the morning.
It is the crack of dawn, and I hope the day for you is as good as mine will be. What?
I like the positivity.
This has been a Dropout podcast. For video of today's show, plus more exclusive series, go to dropout.tv.